Joel, it's good to be here. I think I'd like to drop by for some of that breakfast at Borek Motors.
You wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's Terry is here. She's cooking for these guys. They eat it up like candy. And fresh homemade chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, I already had part of one. How do you beat that?
That is Bismarck nice, isn't it?
Exactly. They got their own Chico here, too, in the West. He just came by and told everybody to tell Jack Michaels hi. So he's on as well. Paul, is this all a bluff? Will this affect the market in the way that people from both sides of the aisle are saying it will?
Well, if, in fact, the government does default on its obligations, that would be a bad thing, not just for the market, but for worldwide economies who depend upon the U.S. dollar and the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And, you know, you can't find many people who really believe that the government will default on those debts. And I think right now, of course, your sources, the congressmen who are going to be on hopefully soon, are going to have a lot more inside track than I do. But my understanding is that both sides have really reached a deal. It's just the political wrangling now to get the darn thing presented so that each side can claim somewhat of a victory.
Well, and that's what I think has people so frustrated, is they're sitting there waiting for everyone to just get comfortable what the end result is. But I want to do the what-if scenario, Paul.
Okay.
What if the hardliners say no? What if they say no? We don't have a deal. We're not going along with the Senate proposal. We don't care that both the Republicans and the Democrats in the Senate have decided to go with this. That isn't where we're at. We're going to hold to our line when it comes to the Affordable Health Care Act. We're going to hold to our line of hey, President Obama has to give in on this, and we're not going to fund the government, because I've heard people on their side say that. I've heard Ted Cruz say that. I've heard Rand Paul say that. I've heard many say that and make the argument that the government can pay its bills. We can meet our debt obligations. And so this isn't as big of an issue as what everyone's making it out to be, which is why I told Amy, I said, call Paul. I want to get his take on it.
Well, thank you, Joel. You know, my take, of course, comes from right here in the middle of North Dakota and Minnesota, and yet we do reach out nationally to try to determine what the point is. I had a great meeting last week with Dr. Bob Frohlich, who some people may remember as one of our lead commenters on our investment talk on Sunday mornings. He's a pretty nationally renowned guy, and his point was, number one, there's no way that the U.S. is going to default, and if they did, it would be terrible for U.S. economics. I mean, just to give you an example, and this has already happened, this is going to cost the U.S. government a great deal of money, because due to the wrangling of what's been going on, prices on U.S. treasuries have been going down, and interest rates have been spiking up tremendously to try to lure people into buying those. So as a result, when the U.S. sells treasuries, which it did, I believe, yesterday, when it sells those treasuries, it pays a higher interest rate on those treasuries. Well, you know, interest on the national debt can be a crushing deal. It's not so much how much you owe, that's important, but how much do you pay to service what you owe? And so this is already creating problems that are not reversible. I was just reading a story that said that nearly a million jobs have been put on hold as a result of all this wrangling. And there's really no winner. There's really no winner, and if it continues, it's going to get worse.
The tone out of the Senate, where Republican and Democrat alike came together and tried to come to some type of a compromise, led by Susan Collins, a member of the minority in the Senate, and the piecework that they put together that the leaders kind of latched onto, you know, that kicks the can down the road, in my personal opinion. I know that makes Heidi mad when I say that. I don't care. I mean, we're going to have this fight again another day. What does that do to the market? If the end result here, Paul, and Paul Myers is our guest with Legacy Wealth Management, if our end result here is all we're going to do is have this debate again another day, does that give instability to the market as well?
Well, no, I don't think so. Actually, all of this debt discussion, the debt ceiling and the government shutdown, is really extraneous to the market. the market moves and does what it wants to do. The problem is that public sentiment, people get worried about it. Joel, I can't tell you how many times people who are not even clients of mine, as well as clients, will call in and they'll say, Paul, I was watching television, and will I lose my entire portfolio? And I tell them, no, this is really just an extraneous item. It's not really part of what's going on in economic terms. I mean, earnings reported today were stronger. That's a good thing. We're in the middle of earnings season now, Joel, and that's what really drives the market. Unemployment numbers have been doing fine, except for the fact that the government shutdown threw a wrench into that. Well, later on today, I believe we're going to get some housing numbers, and hopefully those will continue strong. But all of this publicity contributes to kind of a negative public sentiment. And that's what's been beating on the market. It's a temporary thing. My bet has been for a long time that the market would get crunched by all this public discussion. And then as soon as the deal is signed, we'll go back on our way towards heading higher. And by the end of the year, we'll even be higher. So people's 401ks and retirement plans will see a little bit of a bump here, but then go higher. By the way, not only was it Collins who put that deal together, but as I understand, Senator Heitkamp and Amy Klobuchar were in on that deal as well. And it sounds as if the House basically pulled the plug on that deal somehow.
Exactly. And in large part because it wasn't theirs. But it was bipartisan of its very nature. It put everything back to work. It put a committee together that you know, is what everybody needs, which is a long-term budget for the country mm-hmm. itself, so we're not operating by continual resolution. It's ridiculous. None of us would run our business this way, Paul. We recognize that. But it does – you're more optimistic that they get a deal done today than what I am. You know, if they don't get a deal done here, and if in the end, in order to get a deal done, Speaker Boehner is going to have to roll over a large number of his Tea Caucus party members. I mean,
that,
really,
what I've heard is that there is a group of 28 to 50 House members on the Republican side who are going to join with the Democrats and vote in favor of legislation that will, as you say, kick the can down the road a bit, but perhaps give a little bit more time to have a reasonable discussion. One of the keys is if they're going to be can kicking, they need to kick it beyond the new year, because if they don't, the instability just beats up the market and it beats up retail sales. And, you know, it's such a fine line in world economics. 1% can crush you. You know, if you're counting on a certain number and you miss it by 1%, the market is not very kind toward you. And so, my point is they're going to get a deal done. I thought it would happen yesterday. Perhaps it'll be today. They're going to get a deal done, and it's going to take some concentration on patriotism rather than partisanship. And, you know, Joel, for years you've had Kent Conrad on your shows, and Kent has been advocating for government stability for a long time. He's in favor of reining in some of the spending. But, you know, what people forget is that this spending is approved by both sides of government, both the Republicans and the Democrats. This isn't a unilateral spending spree that the country is on. And frankly, from an economic viewpoint, the country was somewhat on life support going back to 2008 and early into 2009, and it needed government spending to help pull it out of the abyss that it had sunk into.
It's you mentioned the world stage, you know, and we heard the leader of the International Monetary Fund talk about what this does to the world economy. I was kind of taken aback by something I heard Newt Gingrich say over the weekend, where, you know, she happens to be French, and him saying it's not as though we're going to take lessons on how to run our country financially from the French or from the Europeans, who can't even, don't even, you know what trouble they're in themselves. Germany had to bail everybody out in the first place. So it goes back to what you said, which is this isn't just our economy. This goes way beyond this. And if we go over that cliff, what happens to the market the next day, Paul, in your estimation? Well, what do you tell your investors?
The market will go down, but it's a temporary thing, Joel. It's a bit like a hailstorm in the middle of the summer. Nobody likes it, but eventually the rain and the hail will stop, and then we get back to a sunny day. And I don't mean that to sound overly optimistic, but try as hard as they might, the congressional people are not going to be able to hold up the ongoing growth and development of this country and really the world for that matter. They can impede it for a while, but eventually they're going to have to agree to pay the bills. You know, what's so funny about the debt ceiling is, as we both know and as many of our listeners around the state know, raising the debt ceiling is all about paying for legislation you've already approved.
Yeah, it's already done.
And actually, the
fight we're having over saving money, what we're doing is we're costing extra money.
It's
like sitting there arguing about whether or not you pay your credit card on time. And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
I would hate to be an incumbent running for re-election in the near future.
Yeah. Paul Myers, Legacy Wealth Management, you hear him each and every Sunday with Steve Poitras on Investment Talk. Paul, thanks. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Joel, have a great time out there in Bismarck.
You bet. Thank you, Paul. Coming to you live from the Vark Motors. Yes, where you're always treated like family. This is the most unique car dealership I have ever seen in my life. I got to tell you about it. Alvin's going to join us after the top of the hour, and we'll get his take on it. Trust me, he knows a little something about selling cars. I don't think they sell just cars here. I've seen pontoons and campers, and quite frankly, there's a whole bunch of Harleys out in the showroom. So we'll give you a window and an insight into this as well. Stick around. More coming your way here on News and Views.